Ladies and gentlemen, welcome once again to the Student of the Game. I am Kyle Nash, the Student of the Game, and here with me in studio, Stephen Weasel Hurley. Weasel Wears!
Yeah, boy!
I'm a little charged up. What can I say? I'm here to talk football here on NGSC Sports because we never stop. That's right. I mean, sure, our good friend Chris Rankin, unable to make or call into the show because he is currently being a local hero as a firefighter for Sumter County here in the state of Florida. He's actually on a call. He texted me shortly before the show saying that he will not be able to make it. I could tell you exactly what he said, but that would involve an expletive, and, well, this isn't that kind of show yet. I mean, if Sirius Satellite Radio wants to pick us up, I'm sure Weasel will gladly imitate Al Pacino in Son of a Woman many times, and he can't say it, and he wants to. Yeah. He's the blind guy with the thing.
Okay.
But welcome back.
I got you.
Somebody got that. You were supposed to. Well, anyways, you're here now. But speaking of things that involve, you know, law, there's, because there's a court scene in Son of a Woman and a Woman and things that involve law and stuff like that. I don't know. Close enough, right? Anyways, so if you don't know by now, somebody will tell you Tom Brady's appeal for Deflategate to take place tomorrow, June 23rd. Yeah, it's going to be heard by Roger Goodell himself. And, you know, I think, Weasel, you posed the question that's exactly what this appeal is going to come down to. Is Brady going to talk? I mean, I'm sure he'll have to, like, vocally say something into the microphone. Perhaps it'll be along the lines of,
"You can't handle the truth,"
or something like that. But, you know, he could go Jack Nicholson. You never know. You never know. I'm just saying. You know, perhaps he thinks
it's a trap.
I don't know. Could be one of those.
He asked for it.
He did. That's true. Can one self-impose a trap? Well, I suppose we're going to find out tomorrow, depending on that, what that situation is. And what he does or does not say, I think, will certainly be a factor in whether the four-game suspension holds. Weasel, I'll ask you the question. Should the suspension hold?
It's good. This appeal, first I want to, you know, maybe get some things cleared up that I'm not too sure about.
Well, yeah, let's not question. Spend too
well,
much time.
I got
go
you,
ahead,
but what I'm saying,
drop the question.
What I'm wondering is who is going to be hearing this appeal? And
Roger Goodell.
But is there going to be... Is it just going to be he said type of thing after it? Or do we get, like, reporters or any NFL, like, not executives,
but...
Well,
the proceeding itself is closed, but, I mean, there'll be people on the scene, you know, that'll,
like,
let you know as
possibly, like, reporters and stuff.
Oh, absolutely.
Because how did he answer some questions is what, you know, I would really like to know. So,
yeah.
Ask yours one more time.
I just ask you if you think that the suspension should hold, yeah.
Well, how he answers, I think, the questions Goodell's going to have, for example, how you have him saying he's talking to the trainer and he asks him stuff like, "Are we good?" And he talks to a guy
via text.
By text, but
allegedly via text, right?
Days after that kind of all got out there in the days after the AFC Championship game,
right.
He had like an hour conversation with them.
And these are all things derived from phone records that Ted Wells did get. But they never got anything from Tom Brady.
Right, so...
So, yeah, I mean, when it comes to Brady, the situation there is, will he answer these questions, right?
Sorry about that, yes. What it's going to come down to is, will he answer those questions?
Right.
And about the cell phone, about giving all emails, giving all text messages, I would think that his lawyer would be pretty much ready by now. About what he would give them,
right?
Because they gave him the option. They don't necessarily need to give him everything, but if he refuses
right. Let me explain that a little bit more clearly. Ted Wells and crew said, "Look, give us something. You can even filter it. You can give us absolutely something that just doesn't matter. That's relevant to your situation." And the lawyer would be able to say, "Yep, this is what we have." And it could have just been said, it could have been an email that said, "Hey, make sure I have bacon and eggs before this game for breakfast."
Yeah.
That's it.
One thing that gets me kind of is that he's pleading like, you know, 100% innocent. That's what it's going to sound like.
Oh, the Shaggy defense. Like, it wasn't me.
It wasn't me. Yeah. It wasn't me. But all I'll say is that he's going to be asked questions, maybe about the information that he doesn't give, but he's not going to like answering some of those questions.
Of course not.
But he's going to have to. And the data, people could say, you know, that's someone's privacy. The NFL shouldn't be asking for it. But what they can get, though, which they didn't really have that opportunity to get straight from him, is the answers from his mouth. We always had him, like, for early on, and he was like saying this is ridiculous and 100 all innocent, but
pounding the table.
Basically. I think it's going to stay at 4, but because I don't think he's going to answer everything.
So, and I'm going to extrapolate based on what you said. You think he's going to stay with the 4 games, and you probably think it's going to happen, and just say yes or no if I have it wrong or right. You think it's going to happen because it sounds to me like you don't think Brady's going to spill the beans.
Because
the one thing you said is he has to talk. Well, no, he doesn't. He can just take his 4-game suspension, which would make this whole appeal process absolutely stupid.
When I say that, you know, he has to talk is because of the person that he's going up against. Goodell he's, you know, pretty steamed off about this, of course. He paid him a couple million, I'm sure, for the Wells report for this Deflategate, and he doesn't like being lied to. He said that in the past. It's like, lie to me and you'll get consequences, and that's what the Patriots got.
Well, and it's not just, and I'm glad that you brought the human element in, but it's not just about how Roger the ginger hammer Goodell is going to bring the heat. He's actually violated process rules, if you will, in the collective bargaining agreement by not cooperating in the investigation. So by extension, it's not just that Raj is going to get pissed off. Brady isn't cooperating with the investigation, ergo, he's not cooperating with the rules. That's the logic in place here. And I think at this point, you and I are subtly, albeit accidentally, making the point that it's not about the deflation of the balls anymore. It's just not. At this point, it's about if he cooperated with the investigation. I don't care even at this point. If you ask Roger Goodell, you know, off the record, I'd be willing to guess, and this is all speculation, that he would tell you it's not about the charges anymore. It's just about Brady and, by extension, the Patriots being so, lacking a better word, cavalier in their response to the charges, right? So
yeah, it's just one of those things that when you just hear it, someone tells you about it, it's ridiculous how, you know, how far this must have to go. But I think the next step, of course, because if he's suspended 4 games, which I think he may stay if he doesn't cooperate, the next step, I think, it's going to be with the Players Association. Do you think it would make me possibly go into, like, lawsuit type of action?
Let me tell you why Brady and the Patriots won't let that happen. Okay? It's clear and point blank. All right? We said earlier that Brady has the option of staying silent. If this goes into a court proceeding and it involves something called a subpoena, where you're called upon to testify, now the NFL can basically, for lack of a better term, raid the Patriots facility, get whatever effing data they want, and turn it outside to the public.
How much does it weigh with the NFL's Players Association trying to get it lowered? Are they going to have to get an arbiter, or is it because I thought,
well,
I've read laws,
the
law would
process,
be next.
Yeah, exactly. The appeal process is what the NFLPA has bargained. So there's not a whole lot else they can do as far as an arbitration standpoint, unless for some reason the league and Goodell decides to agree to it, which they probably won't. I mean, that's the nature of arbitration in corporations, which in this case, I mean, hey, the NFL is a business and therefore a corporation, right? But the way it works in business is you do the arbitration to avoid the pain and the issues of law. Arbitrations usually involve confidentiality, binding agreements based on the decision, things like that. This appeal is essentially in arbitration for all intents and purposes. I know I'm dramatically oversimplifying it, but I mean, look, me playing, you know, dime store lawyer, and all the other people listening to this who probably may or may not have a law degree may or may not find this riveting conversation. But the point of the matter is this: as far as a next step, the court system is it. And I can guarantee to you the Patriots don't want it, period. Good question, though. I like where you're going there. But see, here's something else I hear people talking about. I'm only bringing this up because I find it absolutely stupid. And it's the question surrounding this suspension, whether it serves the full time, it serves part the time, whatever the hell it is. Will it affect Brady's legacy? And let me ask you before I need to collect my thoughts a touch more on it, because I don't want to just come off as completely pissed off here. Does the suspension affect Brady's legacy at all?
I think you kind of got to say it affects it some, because whenever you 10, 15, 20 years down the road, when Brady will be, you know, he'll be in the Hall of Fame, you know, and all that good stuff. And what it's going to come back to, he's got 4 Super Bowls, you know, so far. You never know. Next couple years, they could be in the mix.
It's possible.
You got, he's got, you know, great stats. I think him and Moss set the record, I think, for the most passing touchdowns and stuff like that.
Actually, he's been surpassed by Peyton Manning in a presidency.
But I think Moss has got it, I think.
But, well, between the two of them as a duo, they could hold that record, yes.
So he's got, like, he gets the yards. He's got the wins. He finally, because he didn't play the Giants in the Super Bowl, he actually got another Super Bowl ring. So that's number 4.
I like what you did there, by the way.
But the thing is it's always going to be brought up, especially if they find out he lies about it, that this thing, which may have not affected the games or not, he did push the rules, and he got caught. And instead of manning up, I don't think they would have lost a first-round draft pick. If you manned up right in the beginning, I think fine. I think he's paid wealthy. So I think, a $250,000 fine? Oh, okay.
Hold on.
Here you go, guys.
Let me get my pocket change out real quick, right? Yeah. Actually, hey, Giselle, can you empty your pocket real quick? You know, I don't have a pocket in this dress. Here, I'll empty my purse. You know, whatever. I mean, she makes more money than him as an international star. So, I mean, that is what it is. I could be wrong with that, but that's my instinct.
You know, she's definitely up there, but
I haven't researched it per se, but
it's always going to be in the conversation, and not that the sad thing is it's not that he necessarily did it, but it's because he lengthened this out, and allegedly he lengthened it out, and he lengthened this out so far, was lying, and he not only lied to Robert Kraft. There was an interview in which Robert Kraft says, I support Brady 100%. Mm-hmm. This was, I think, back in January. I support Brady 100%. I asked him straight up, look, if you did it, we'll take the penalties. We'll get past this. No problem. Just tell me. And he said, no, I had nothing to do with this.
So he could have lied to Robert Kraft. Yeah.
For we your bosses, know, he's the boss's boss right there.
Correct.
Lied to him in his face, caused him a lot of embarrassment, because he was, I think early on, Kraft was like demanding an apology and stuff, and then fast forward a couple months, now he's saying I give up. So it's the kind of thing that it's always going to be on the topic.
I won't go so far to say as Robert Kraft said he gives up, but the Patriots have certainly lessened their ire, so to speak. And I think, you know, you could argue that that's for a public relations reason just as much as a symbol of guilt. I mean, I'm not going to go quite that far, but you're absolutely right. The facts you state are clear as day in that.
So it should be quite interesting, and you're going to have to read up on that tomorrow.
Well, yeah, absolutely. And let me add this. So you're sure it'll affect his legacy.
On-field legacy is like, yes, he did something that possibly can affect the outcome of a game.
Okay.
But everything's going to come back to numbers. It's just Super Bowls, this and that. Yeah, you could bring up Spygate. You could bring up this and that.
Okay.
For the Patriots as a whole. But for him, it's just a little tarnished. But
well, let me ask you
can't take away Super Bowls or anything.
And that's, Yeah, correct. And that's, I think that's one of the most important points. You can't take away Super Bowls. Not to mention, Brady is going into year 15. He's not missed any significant time, save 2008. Okay? So that means he's played, because he hasn't played year 15 yet. Right. So 13, we'll call them pretty much full seasons. He's not missed much time. Right? How many games is that? Wait, so 160 times for 10. 160 games would be 10 seasons. Yeah. So playoffs, it's about 200 games.
Yep.
We'll just round it.
Yep, that sounds right.
200 games because he was suspended for four of them en route to 216. But let's even take that off the table. Weasel, how many records are out there based on... For example, there's one former Lion, Dick Night Train Lane. Night Train Lane is badass. And among one of the interception leaders of our time. Of our time! In an era where they're running the football. Now, I don't think he's the all-time interception leader. If he is, I apologize. I got it wrong. But you were allowed to clothesline people back then. You were allowed to beat the bleep out of them all up and down the field. But he's still remembered as a great corner. And I mean, he's playing back when it's black and white TV, you know.
It's just extra things to talk about, but
Mike Ditka, Mike Singletary, both awesome Bears players, annihilate people with hits that are now illegal. Ben Roethlisberger, he was supposed to be a pariah, based not only on his allegations for which he got suspended. What is that? Half a decade ago or so now.
Mm-hmm.
And don't forget, I mean, he was a bad boy, wild man when he got in his motorcycle accident. Remember how he was vilified about that? That was one of the first articles I wrote on the Student of the Game. And me mentioning this right now on this show, and people hearing it, they're kind of like, oh yeah, that did happen, didn't it? Right?
Yep.
Roethlisberger, for all intents and purposes, was accused of rape. And people are forgetting about it. Something tells me people will get over somebody allegedly over-inflating footballs in a game they won by 20-something plus points. What was it? 41-17 or something like that. I forget the exact
With story. The properly deflated footballs in the second half.
Yeah.
Properly inflated. I guess because they were deflated, so I guess you got to bring it back up there. But
the point is...
Yeah.
The point is... The suspension is news now.
Mm-hmm.
And I think part of the reason why we're talking about it so much is what the hell else is there? At this point, Stanley Cup playoffs are over, which I'm glad your household is a happy place.
Yeah, she's very happy.
I'm sure she is. The Golden State NBA. Warriors are officially champions. We aren't talking anything else. Even baseball, whether I hate it or not, isn't relevant right now. We're not even at the All-Star break, are we?
It was like 1 week. Football, I mean, it was 1 week, hockey and basketball gone.
Yeah.
It's like,
they're talking about golf in the top headlines, okay? Yeah.
Yep.
They're advertising NASCAR. The Women's World Cup is getting play because there's no sports right now. So, of course, people are going to ask asinine questions like this. It's good that we explore it, but at the end of the day, can we please, as media members, be real that this is just a filler topic? Hell, we got 20 minutes out of it. See what I did there? Anyway, I kind of feel like a bad person now that hell, we're getting something out of it. But, and here's something that's actually legitimate to sport here, to the actual game of football in the NFL. And I think I meant to call it up earlier, but I didn't quite finish. So while I'm talking, I will do that now. But what I'm looking for is the schedule of the Buffalo Bills. Well, why are you doing that, Cam? Well, we've evaluated that the Patriots are going to win 10 games. We did this on another show. We looked over the Patriots' schedule, and based on the roster as we understand it to be today, we see the Patriots winning 10 games if, in fact, Tom Brady is out for the first four. I think we're pretty certain he's going to lose. They are going to lose. He's not even on the damn field, Kyle. They are going to lose to the Cowboys and one other of the remaining three games on the schedule at that time. And they'll come. He'll come back just in time. He being Brady, just in time to play the Colts, which will be a win for the Patriots. I'm sorry. I'm just calling that now. If Brady loses the appeal, he will win Week 5. That's where I'm at.
He's gonna be very mad.
Yeah, it's a juggernaut. Something like that. I don't know. So, I got the Colts. Check that. The Colts. Good job, Kyle. I've got the Bills schedule in front of me. And I'm also, let's put it this way. When it comes to the Bills, to say they're a new-look team is kind of an understatement. It started at the front office with the coach. They got Rex Ryan in. And the team itself has a pretty different look in itself, right? They're going to have a different quarterback. They're going to have a number of pieces. And actually, you know, when you look at the quarterback crew, I mean, EJ Manuel, Matt Sims, Tyrod Taylor, and Matt Castle, I'm not wowed by any of that. But, of course, it's their running back acquisition that's, you know, the big deal. They have Fred Jackson and one LeSean McCoy. Anybody heard of him? Shady? Yeah, that guy. And I mean, it looks to me that is going to be, you know, the crux of their offense, obviously. They picked up Charles Clay from Miami. That'll be very interesting. I think they overpaid for him, but different topic. And with Sammy Watkins, who they got as a rookie last year, and then Robert Woods, who's also a pretty good receiver. And Percy Harvin as well. What do you got?
Andre Johnson? Another Frank Gore.
That's Colts, bro.
Colts, yeah.
Good thinking, though.
Wrong side there. I was thinking of this duo with the old guys.
The reason why you said it with the Colts is because that happens to be the Bills' first game, so I'll let it slide.
You're welcome.
No. Shady McCoy and Frank Gore in the same backfield? Are you high? Wow. Of course, you know, I would have said the same thing about what's going on in Philadelphia, but I'll leave that alone for a minute. Anyways, so on offense, their quarterback situation is still meh, but I like their weapons. I like their running game. You know, their defense is still pretty solid. They've not really lost any pieces. You know, I like what they're
doing. They traded away Kiko Alonso,
they did lose. That's correct. They got Shady McCoy. Yeah. But he's been kind of injury plagued. I'll grant, he's gotten some dap on this show before. And yeah, thank you for calling me out. We shouldn't have forgotten him as a departure because he is a good player. So that's on me. My bad.
I think it was a ACL injury.
Correct. Very good, Weasel. That's what ended his season early last year. Yes. They got Kyle Williams at the defensive tackle spot, former Vikings staple there. And Mario Williams, of course, at the defensive end. Manny Lawson as the other defensive end. And just a number of names, Jerry Hughes, that come off this list. Plenty of guys that are dangerous up front. So they're a good defensive team. I kind of like their secondary as well, you know, not for nothing. But all that being said, with all these new-look dudes, do they have enough to compete in a division? Now, keep in mind, we predicted the Patriots at 10 games. So, Weasel, here's the game we're going to play, all right? I'm going to name a team. You're going to tell me win or loss, okay? Now, to make this job a little bit easier, I'm assuming also that, like the Patriots and the Dolphins, we're going to call 3-3 in their division, okay? Maybe they'll get some extra ones. The Jets are in trouble, basically, is what we're trying to say. But we're going to call 3-3. In the division. So I'm not going to go over divisional games. Pretty much everything at home, they'll win. Everything on the road, we'll lose. That's kind of what we'll go with at the moment, right?
Okay.
That aside, okay. So non-divisional games, we're going to go through them now. In Buffalo, in Ralph Wilson Stadium, they host the Colts. Week 1, who you got?
Definitely be tough. But I guess the Colts.
I got the Colts hands down, especially with all their new additions. Week 4, in Ralph Wilson, the New York Giants.
I think they could pull the upset off of the Giants.
So do I. In week 6 at Ralph Wilson Stadium, in Tennessee, the Titans.
Mariota most likely be playing, but pretty much, yeah, they should get a win there.
Okay, so we got 3 wins so far, so they're looking pretty good. The Bengals in Cincinnati, in Buffalo at Ralph Wilson Stadium.
How far in the season?
Game 6.
I would say, depending on a healthy LeSean McCoy, I'd say the Bills.
Okay, well, you're anti Andy Dalton, but I'll let you have that.
Yeah, so I hate that guy.
That's four wins in a row. Such a hater. In Jacksonville, week 7, the Jacksonville Jaguars.
I think Jacksonville's an up-and-coming team right now. Young, and I think they got a lot more veteran leadership over the Bills.
So after upsetting the Bengals, they're going to drop one to the Jags. Is that what you're saying?
I'm not saying the Bengals are necessarily a big upset, but I think they could beat the Jags.
So you're going 5 wins. Okay. So that's out a lot. Of the division, they've already won 5 games. That's very interesting. Okay.
It's just the matchups, you know? So
no hate. I'm just kind of following your lead so far. The Chiefs in week 12 at Arrowhead.
Assuming that they throw a touchdown to a wide receiver.
They don't have to.
Yeah. So I guess at Arrowhead also helps out, so I'll give the Chiefs the win there.
Okay, so they finally lose one, 5-1 outside of the division. Okay. The next week at Ralph Wilson Stadium, they host former rival Vince Wilfork and, of course, everyone's man crush, J.J. Watt, as the Texans come to town in week 13. Who you got?
It's going to be an interesting defensive line there. At quarterback for the Texans.
That would be the Cleveland starter last year. Hoyer. Brian Hoyer, yeah.
I'll give it to the Texans.
So would I. Of course, I'm kind of biased, but okay. So keep in mind, 6-1 outside of the division are the Buffalo Bills. Okay, they're at Philadelphia in week 14.
Yeah, Philly's going to be a tough game. It's a loss for that one.
You think they'll lose to Philly? Okay. The Redskins the following week.
Beat the Redskins.
Okay, so they're, what is that, 7-2? Yeah, 7-2 with their last game outside of the division at Ralph Wilson Stadium, week 16, the Dallas Cowboys. Just say they're going to lose it. Don't make yourself look dumb.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah.
Okay. So despite the fact that they have such amazing quarterback options as, make sure I get this right, Matt Castle, EJ Manuel, Matt Sims, and Tyrod Taylor, they're going to go 7-3 outside of the division.
Well, we shall see.
Now, here's what you've done, which is what's very interesting. They're going 10 games overall based on that. You said they would win 7 and lose 3 outside of the division, and we said 3-3 outside. So you just gave us 10-6. You just gave us a tie with the Patriots. However, the games they are losing are the Chiefs, the Eagles, and the Cowboys. Couldn't have gone better for them because those are NFC teams that they lost to. Their AFC record, only 4 losses. I think you're nuts, but you just gave the Bills a fighting chance. If everything goes as good as you think it should, they can tie the Patriots and win the division in tie breaks. Wow.
I'm just saying also that it's
I'm just saying.
it's towards the end of June.
Correct. So, there's still a lot that can happen.
It's definitely a lot that can still happen. But
Tom Brady could get angry, demand a release, and play for the Bills. Not really. But
yep.
Not really. No. And honestly, I'm glad you made that point, because in June, anything can happen to either the Bills themselves or to any one of their opponents. You know, if, let's say, God forbid, Luck gets hurt in game one, suddenly... Oh, no, you said they beat the Colts.
No, not the Colts. Not the Colts.
Okay, good. So I got that wrong. So they're 6-4 rather than 7-3. They're going to miss it by one game.
Yeah.
That's basically what just happened.
It's, I think a lot of it...
if everything goes well.
If everything goes well, yes.
One game.
So?
Henceforth, the AFC East will still clearly belong to the Patriots, whether the appeal happens or not, because the AFC East, well, is a less than awesome division, talent-wise. And I'm not bothering to go over the Jets, by the way. That should be pretty obvious. Anyways, yeah, I heard somebody on the internet try to tell me that Geno Smith, just stop it. Anyways.
So far, I think Brandon Marshall, new wide receiver for the Jets, he's been saying positive things about Geno Smith. He kind of has to, but.
Exactly. So we'll go ahead and hit you back here after the break. We'll see you shortly. You're listening to NGSC Sports. This is the Student of the Game. You're listening to NGSC Sports Radio. Hear us live on NGSCSports.com, where you can get awesome analysis for all things sport. Or check out our podcasts on iHeartRadio, Spreaker, iTunes, TuneIn, and much more. For our latest videos, head to NGSC Sports YouTube channel. Follow us on Twitter at NGSC Sports and like us on Facebook. NGSC Sports. We never stop. So a little new promo action there. I'm not biased because, you know, it's my voice. It's not like that. But, yeah, I just, you know, just to let you know where you could find us. All that happy stuff. Fine. You want music? Here's music. There. See, Weasel's bobbing his head. It's great. So, anyways, I think this is appropriate. Playing a little Alo Blanc, getting that I'm the man in there. Because it's certainly what Dez Bryant thinks of himself. Oh, snap! Segwayed! What are you going to do? You dig that segway?
That was all right. I liked it.
Okay. Weasel. There you go.
Yeah, boy.
It. There it is. Anyway, so here's the nature of the situation. In case you haven't heard, Dez Bryant, clear and present top receiver for the Dallas Cowboys. There is not middle ground here. I think you'll agree with that, right, Weasel?
People, you could talk top five and stuff.
Oh, great.
Not just for the NFC, but the league. So he's
pop
up.
Quiz.
He's up there.
Top three.
Maybe just out of it, but I'd say top five.
Top
five. I put him at like number five.
Okay.
Yeah,
top five's an honor in itself. I'm not dissing.
So, yeah, that's it's you know.
I struggle
big
to
money.
Find who would take him out of the top three. I mean, Calvin Johnson, obviously, right? You give me.
He's got a little bit more. Antonio Brown's up there.
I think
you
I
got
would take, I
you
think,
got the new guys.
Well, what about AJ Green?
AJ Green's up there.
Okay.
And then let's see.
I don't know about Antonio Brown.
Odell Beckham Jr. He's on his way up.
Still too soon to call. I would
he
think.
Just he does not like people making fun of him.
He does not
teammates.
Like people making fun of him. Yeah,
that's not cool.
Teammate, why you make fun of Odell Beckham Jr.?
I'm just saying. He doesn't like it.
It's okay. No, I'm not saying you. I mean his teammates.
But I'd say talent wise, I think he's maybe number two or three.
Really? So. Already? You're just
well. He, you know, there's of course you got to stay. He's got to stay healthy, but talent
let's
wise,
keep in mind,
he is
he's
up
got,
there.
What 8 games under his belt so far?
12.
12.
Yeah.
Okay, let's slow that roll a little.
I was
bit.
Just saying, talent wise, he's up there.
There's a chance. So. I'm not saying you're wrong. I'm just saying I'm not brave enough to do it. See, that's what it is. You are blazing the trail of Odell Beckham Jr. as a top three, and that's okay. I'm just I can't do it.
It's just a.
I can't do it.
Production wise, put him up against some of the big guys in the NFL.
That's true, and I mean he's gotten depth from the top corners, Richard Sherman included, of course. We talked about that a little bit last week. I don't know, though. I don't know. Sherman's giving dap to Dez Bryant, too.
But, hey, top five is, I think that's plenty.
Okay, so top five under Antonio Brown and Odell Beckham Jr.
There's some other guys like Megatron and stuff, but.
We said Megatron already.
Yeah, so.
And we said Megatron and AJ Green already. So there's your top five right there. It's basically what just happened.
Kind of, pretty much.
Okay. I'm not for or against it. This isn't a formal breakdown of the top five receivers. I'm not going that far. But, okay, so at any rate, let's just say top five, because that's what Weasel's comfortable with, and I like it too. The Cowboys have opted to hit him with the franchise tag, which essentially equals $13 million. I keep talking about how I need that soundbite, and I still haven't done it yet. Anyways. So, that being said, there's been a lot of talk in the press. Dez Bryant has gone public with it some, and I can see why. That he's actually even threatening to hold out with the Cowboys. Personally, I think... A lot of players threaten holding out, but I don't know about you, Weasel. When you hear Dez Bryant talk about holding out, you take it seriously, yes?
Yeah. Oh, most definitely you take it seriously. It's you did have that, the whole incident, that thing that the allegedly happened about 2 months ago.
Well, let's not get into the
I'll say about that is that because that happened, I think they were kind of in possible long-term contract talks.
Yeah.
Then that happened, it kind of screeched everything to a halt.
It did at the time. That's true. Good call.
But as of right now, people say, okay, I'm mad about my contract. You don't really know. You don't really know about like what they're mad about unless you sometimes look at Twitter. So there's a good old Twitter message. It was from June 17th of this year by one Des Bryant. And I quote, "Everybody voicing opinions, 13 mil is cool, but where is my security? I'll wait and then ... 5 years without complaining. So how am I selfish? And then tag hashtag family one.
Family first or whatever, right.
And, you know, the guy does make a case how he's got, he's going to, if they franchise him, mm-hmm. which technically he can't get fined or anything right now because he's not on a contract. He didn't sign a long-term deal and he didn't sign the franchise tag.
Right.
So he can't get fined or anything like that. But I think he just wants that, you know, I want to play for, you know, 5 more years or so as a Cowboy. And right now, I think it'll be a lot easier if the Cowboys just say, look, we ain't got a lot of money right now. we sign you here, and then we'll take care of you. But the guy, he wants that security. And it's has that whole Twitter rant by Adrian Peterson. It made me remind me of this, but the guy has the production. He's, you know, cleaned up his life, and so I think he deserves a long-term contract. But sign the franchise tag, but I guess it's just that thing in the back of your mind. What if I tear an ACL or something? What if that happens? I'm going to be out of contract. I'm going to be a one year for a franchise tag, and then I'm done. So they got to pay him, but I don't know how they wouldn't do it now. So I think he's going to just sign it and then play his game.
See, here's the thing about it. It's one of these instances. I'm not going to say that Des Bryant is wrong. If I were in Des Bryant's entourage, I would support his point. They're going to pay me $13 million this year, but I'm trying to secure the rest of my life here. Okay? You know, if I would like to think, not that I would even know because I'll never be in that situation, but I would like to think that if I were an NFL athlete who would be blessed for 10 years of NFL salary, that I would be smart enough putting my cash away to be good for the rest of my life, to have me and my family be set. And I see where he's going there. Could you do that with $13 million? Whether the answer to that is yes or no, I don't want to get into that. But Jimmy Graham, for example, wide receiver / tight end according, of course, to his contract in the NFL, he had a similar situation last season. They wanted to franchise tag him for a certain number. He got, I think it was like $12 million or so. And he got a number that was a little less than that, but over the course of many years. I don't think what Des Bryant is doing is any different. Moreover, in the case of the Saints, they have more weapons and can live without their star tight end. Actually, not only could they live without it, they're opting to do so, having traded Jimmy Graham to Seattle.
Yeah, I think Drew Brees has a lot to do with it.
I don't. I think Drew Brees wanted to keep him around, but
of course, but it's just when you have Drew Brees, he can make, I think, kind of the Tom Brady effect. He can make a lower guy.
Let's not overanalyze that, because I'm going to get to Drew Brees in a minute. I'm not saying you're wrong, but I'm going to touch on that in a minute. But in Des Bryant's case, the Cowboys' success rides a lot more directly on his shoulders, because the other receivers on the team are just not Des Bryant. Jason Witten, I'll give credit. But dude is like 12 or 13 years in. His time is ending. He, you know, I like the guy. I've talked to him in person. Quality human being, what you expect to have in a football player that plays in the NFL. Great times. But Dez Bryant's situation, he's not getting his long-term contract. Now, I'll grant Weasel, it's very convenient that this video services and screws everything up. I'm not calling conspiracy theory, but it did affect the talks. And if I'm Dez Bryant, I'm fighting for the long-term contract. So, like, let's say he wants 5 years. He'll be 31. That's about the time receivers see the decline, so to speak. Maybe he'll restructure. He probably will, depending on the contract, whatever. But I can see why he wants a long-term deal. That isn't, you know, rocket science. And the Cowboys are well-suited to pay him that because someone else will give it to him. And if it's, let's say, for example, I don't think it'll be anybody in the NFC East, fortunately for them. But if, let's say the Eagles pick him up. I don't know if Dez Bryant successfully can find Oregon on a map.
Now, the thing is, when was the last time that you had a star Dallas player go to a division rival that following year?
Are you going to cite Terrell Owens on me?
No. Not Terrell Owens. I was talking about a guy, DeMarco Murray.
Oh, him!
He went to the Eagles.
I just wanted to bring up T.O. because it's funny.
And, yeah, Eagles, they're a rival in division. It could happen.
Well, and I think the reason why it won't happen with Dez Bryant is salary cap issues. But, yeah, you're right. There is precedent, obviously. And we can find other examples, I'm sure. But I don't know that Dez Bryant... I think Dez Bryant leaving hurts both sides. Okay? He's got a rapport with Tony Romo. Very excited individual on the sideline. And somebody would need to get used to that, in my opinion. I'm not saying he's a bad guy or any of that. I know he's had a troubled past. I'm not holding any of that against him. I've seen him get really loud and passionate on the sideline. We all have. The cameras picked it up. It's what it is. I don't know. But at the end of the day, and tell me if you think I'm wrong on this, Weasel. This is all posturing, right? And you mentioned Drew Brees earlier. Aha! Here's the tie-in. When he signed his $100 million contract, I think it was what? 4 or 5 years ago. I can look up if I really cared, but something like that. The Saints were offering him franchise, and Drew Brees was like, no. What happened? To the very last minute, the 11th hour, probably the 11th hour and the 59th minute and the 59th second, the deal was done with Drew Brees. Jimmy Graham. Granted, they traded him the following year, but Jimmy Graham. Are you a tight end or are you a receiver? Oh, my God, I just don't know. I think it even worked out to where even before that decision could even be levied, or the decision was levied, he was going to appeal. Before the appeal could even be heard, Jimmy Graham gets his big deal. Go ahead, sign it, boom, may the force be with you. Why would I have any reason to believe that Jerry Jones would do it any different for the Cowboys? However, in the case of Drew Brees, in the case of Jimmy Graham, I don't take them as seriously as Dez Bryant when it comes to the concept of holding out. I don't know why exactly. I don't ask me what I have to base that on. That's just the impression that I get. It's entirely opinion, speculation, whatever you want to call it. But there's also precedent within Cowboys history as well for players successfully holding out. I believe Emmitt Smith held out a year they won the Super Bowl, for example. I know there were some issues with Aikman as well. I don't know that he actually held out, but he threatened to, or at least. I don't know. This is back in the 90s. I haven't done the research. I just know about the Emmitt Smith thing. So, it's a very interesting dynamic. But, Weasel, do we have any reason to believe that it will come to a holdout? I think it's all posturing, and come the last possible moment, the two will sign a deal, right?
I don't think he's going to... He may threaten to sit out some of the season, but the thing is, I think it's gonna get around that time where, you know, you're gonna have preseason and all this stuff coming up, and he may be forced to sign the franchise one, and because I just don't think they have the room right now to sign him. I don't know how they could do that, but I think they would say franchise him, and then during the year, you know, we'll try to work something out.
Plausible.
But I don't see how they can sign.
I don't think that's going to happen. Okay? And I like where you're going. The number can be figured out. I mean, they got people who are more versed than you and I on this sort of thing to figure it out. I'm not worried about that. Here's what else I know. During this offseason, where they were gypped out of a trip to the next round of the playoffs, that's where I said it. It was a catch. Leave me alone. I said it. I don't know why I went that route, but what it is, what they got, about $12 million or so in cap space. How they play that is there's a number of different ways they can get around it, I'm sure. But the point is this. I think Jerry Jones, for example, every offseason, there's some kind of schmack being talked on Jerry Jones. You don't hear it as much this offseason, in my opinion at least. Why? Because the Cowboys actually found a bit of success. A modicum, if you will. And I think that window is closing. Romo, albeit in his busted state, is the center of that offense. That line is good. The line is great. What am I saying? You know. That running game, we'll see.
Yeah.
We'll see. I mean, you're extremely skeptical. I think they'll be good enough. But the only way that that running game can be good enough is if, full circle, Dez Bryant is present, posing that threat down the field. Bryant long, Witten middle ranged, running game in the short. If Dez Bryant is not in the picture, I have a feeling it'll be similar to when Emmitt Smith held out. They lost the first two games, and then mysteriously at the same time, they ended up at the table with Emmitt Smith shortly after. In some coincidence, lack of a better word. And just as an example, the first two games, making matters worse, the first two games for the Cowboys, both divisional, Giants and Eagles. Oops.
Yeah. Yeah, so it'll be tough, but because we at least know what he's looking for, and it's security. So
yeah, I mean, look, there's probably going to have to be some tough decisions made, some things danced around, but I'll tell you, in my opinion, a guy they absolutely cannot do without, and I rarely say this about a receiver, is what it is. A guy they absolutely cannot do without is Dez Bryant. Cole Beasley, Terrence Williams, yeah, they're cute. They're not Dez Bryant. They're not Dez Bryant. Bottom line. Anyways. So, that's my take on that. So, in a modicum of silliness, I saw another story that on Twitter. And it was somebody retweeting an article by Fox Sports. And we're back to this stuff again where people are talking about, oh, with all the concussions in pro football, which, by the way, I'm glad that people are bringing attention to that. I have no problem with the concept of saying that there are concussions in football. I'm not getting at that. But some of the solutions presented are kind of silly. And one of them that has been floated in the past is that the players go without helmets. First of all, Weasel thoughts.
Oh, the whole thing about getting away from helmets?
Correct.
I think the theory behind getting away from the helmets is that you're not going to go head first to try to tackle someone.
You won't be as brave or feel as invincible. That's what they say.
Yeah, right. Because the thing about it is that they try to make helmets safer and all this other stuff. They can do a lot of different stuff, but with the actual helmet, once you make it safer, I think what it does for NFL players is they say, "Oh, then I should be able to do this. I should be able to do that," and charging with the helmet, it still happens. It's a penalty, but they say 15 yards and then move on with your life type of thing. But
well, hold on, you're forgetting.
Well,
all about
maybe
the fines
and the suspensions.
Well, yeah,
back a little back then, but now, but it's. The thing about it is that without a helmet, you get the thoughts of the, what was it, 30s or 40s, I forgot, when they went to from leather helmets to the helmets we see today. But before, I mean, you have the padding and stuff like that. keeping your head up, you would do that a lot more if you didn't have the helmet on. It's, I think rugby people talk about how, oh, they're so tough because, you know, they don't wear pads, they don't wear helmets and stuff. But I think, what it comes down to is the NFL is one of the iconic things is the NFL helmet, and going to a padded helmet or like a leather, whatever they do,
let's just call it
a leather helmet. Yeah. Going to something like that, it would just, you know, be looked upon as taken away from the game. But for safety wise, it's definitely I think it would be a better way to go. But realistically, I don't think they can get rid of the helmets.
So, and first of all, I'll start with what you ended with. Realistically, I don't think it's going to happen.
Yeah, it's...
Not to mention, you think it would actually be safer without the helmets on the field. Am I hearing you right?
It's to a point. It's just one of those things because someone can, you know, do a, your forearms to the face and type of thing.
Well,
but
first of all, that's illegal now.
It's illegal, yeah. So, but, I think people's mindset would be because I think what NFL players do, they feel is a little bit more invincible with the pads and the helmet.
Right. So let me tell you why this whole concept of no helmet is absolutely nuts, in my opinion. The concept on the table is very in theory, since, well, they'll hold back if they don't have the helmets on. Here's the thing. For the current generation, a lot of these dudes have been doing it this way their whole life. Okay. So they're not going to stop being aggressive in the matter that they are just because they don't have the helmet on their head. It's just that simple. Matter of fact, one may argue that they feel like they're moving faster because they're not slowed by the helmet. There's that. But I'm not even going to get into that. People seem to be concerned only about head-to-head collisions in this instance, which is fine. Because if they take the helmet off magically, they'll never be, will ever, 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 ever be accidental head-to-head collisions. So, you know, by the way, note the ounces and pounds of sarcasm I'm throwing on this statement. Here's where I am, Weasel. You're a two-fan team guy with the Vikings and the Steelers. I believe there's a linebacker's name. His name was Flowers. Number of years back, there was a play where somehow or another he jumped. And I think you were with me when we saw this together. That's why I'm quoting this, and I'm hoping you remember. Whether you remember it or not, here's the point. No other player hit him. Granted, in a scuffle in the air going for the ball is how it kind of happened. But he got tipped, turned upside down. In other words, his head is pointing down towards the ground. Perpendicular to the ground. Ooh, a big word there. And his helmet, the top of his helmet, goes thud into the ground. If he's not wearing a helmet, tell me that expletive deleter isn't a vegetable today.
It's, when you see hits like that, you would think that definitely. It could have been a lot worse.
Yeah, and here's something you can't ever take away. The ground is always going to be your worst enemy on the football field because it doesn't have any give.
I think this reminds me of you've had a guest on the show, and he was talking about a helmet where
shock strips, right?
Yes, shock strips. So, what it is you have your helmet, and then I think what they do is they add this like a certain kind of like padding type of thing.
Yeah, it's on the outside of the helmet.
It's an addition to the helmet, but I think with logos and stuff like that, they could still, you know, get them on there. And to make it presentable.
Sure.
And I think technology like that, where they could say, hey, look, it could be safer type of thing, and look at this case studies, I think that's the kind of thing that they need to do. Because really, I haven't heard about, like, in the past years, how have they made helmets safer? I noticed some of those, like, little, they have, like, the little holes in the up in the sides and stuff. But it's just, when it comes down to safety, I don't hear much about how progress in how they've been making the NFL safer with these helmets.
No, and that's a good point, and it's something that should get talked about more. I mean, you're absolutely right. I know that shock strips has been, I mean, the doctor himself, Dr. Stephen Novicki, that's his name, He came on here saying that he was in talks with NFL players. You know, we haven't talked
to try it.
Yeah. Or NFL, not players, I'm sorry, franchises. He couldn't really expose more than that because of the nature of the deal.
Mm-hmm.
But a number of colleges, you know, he's making the moves to get that famous. Now, unfortunately, helmets and things like that are a business. And whatever.
I think it's Riddell, I think it is.
Very good.
Riddell has the NFL ones. So.
And whether it's the NFL saying, we don't want to pay this much for the gear, or it's Riddell saying, we're still in contract, so no, we're not going to do anything else. I don't know the details. I don't care to know those details, you know, right now. The point is, and then the unfortunate truth is, that's going to be what's stopping you at the moment. You know, Riddell has the big contract. What's their incentive to induce more cost fiscally? The NFL has a locked rate. What's their incentive to increase their cost? Now, in the NFL's case, you could certainly say, duh, the well-being of your players and the PR, dumbass. You're making billions. Of course you should, you know. Riddell, it's a little bit tougher. Riddell, I don't think, is a billion-dollar organization. I don't have it in front of me. But, you know, they're certainly not as big a monster as the NFL. So if it's on the NFL side, I would find that far more deplorable. But if it's on the Riddell side, I mean, look, the bottom line is this, and I'm not defending it, I'm just stating it as a fact, that business is the obstruction here. But at the end of the day, taking helmets off the field is stupid. Okay?
Yeah.
And let me tell you why I'm personally insulted, and I'm not at you, but at Sean Merriman for putting that in his Twitter post. That's right, I said it. I called his name out. He's in the trenches blitzing people. Those helmets protect him just as much as any, or protected him just as much as anybody else. And now he's going to talk about removing them as a retired player. We know he was famous for being relentless up front and the way he attacked quarterbacks. But now all of a sudden, J.J. Watt, Brian Cushing, James Harrison, those guys, they have to take the step back because now you have a change of heart. What the hell is that? Moreover, as an offensive lineman, look, I don't want to talk about the advantage right now being in a lineman on either side of the ball is the nature of your collisions aren't at full speed. They're just not. There's not enough room for dudes that big to get up to full speed, A, B. Everybody's keeping their heads up because if they put their heads down, they're going to get beat. If I lower my head or lunge at J.J. Watt, he's going to end me. Well, actually, J.J. Watt could probably bull rush me too, but that's not the point. The point is this. Proper form for either defensive or offensive lineman is to keep your head up. Now, sometimes these collisions will still happen. And they will happen.
You're talking split-second decisions.
Correct. Not just split-second decisions, but ones that are right in front of you. You're going to collide sometimes. And no little piece of leather is going to protect a constant set of hits. Every now and again, if it happens, oh, that sucked. Numerous times in a game, now you're talking a problem. Now, obviously, what this is focused on are the big hitters, your safeties, you know, what used to be your John Lynch's, your, goodness gracious, I don't believe I'm going Blake on this cat. Well, screw it. Your Darren Sharpers, your Dawkins. On down the line, your famous Ed Reed's. There it is. I was groping for Ed Reed there. I couldn't come up with it. They're focused on those collisions involving receivers and things like that. Maybe only linemen are allowed headgear. I don't know. I don't like that either. But it's far more reasonable than removing it outright.
Just thinking about it, I think when brought up Riddell and stuff before, a little before,
mm-hmm.
and... just how they're making the game safer. That's a question for me. How are they making their helmets safer?
Well, Dr. Dovicki has told you they're basically not.
So it's the kind of thing that it's a business. Yes, it is. But you also have lawsuits, and the NFL is forking over millions, and it's going to go into the billions for former players and all this stuff. And when they're saying we're doing everything we can for player safety, and if someone asks, hey, these helmets over here, we're talking to someone and they're they've been doing tests. We've been watching it, and they can lower concussions by, what, 15% or something like that. Why won't you do it? And it gets back to, you know, the money way, and it's just because I haven't. The evolution of the helmet is something that you know, I would hope to see more of in the near future. So,
yeah, no, I mean, you couldn't put it better, dude. You did a good job wrapping that up. Absolutely. I mean, we could go more into it, but unfortunately, we're at the end of our show. You put a nice little cherry on it. What can I say? And if you want to join in on that conversation, go ahead and hit up Weasel at Weasel the SOTG. Chris may not have been with us tonight, but you can wish him well as a local hero in the Sumter County Fire Department. At Hydraulic Upright, UPRITE on Twitter is Chris Rankin. Of course, I'm Kyle Nash. Assume you can find me on Twitter at the SOTG. Don't forget to check out the NGSC Sports YouTube page. Episode 2 of the Sports Symposium is up. And guess what? You could also find it on NGSC Sports homepage. That's NGSCSports.com. Of course, you can go there, check out the latest on the sports world. Yeah, good times all the way around. And, right, so for Steven Weasel Hurley, I'm Kyle Nash, the student of the game. And until next time, class dismissed.